How do we find authentic, deep, lasting fulfillment in life? Is it a dream or can it be a reality? The problem is, after years of bombardment from the secular media and from advertising, many people are confused, they are cautious or skeptical. A daily diet on the TV, on the billboards, newspapers and the magazines tell us unashamedly that freedom and fulfillment comes from indulgence, luxury, space, exclusivity and holidays in exotic places. The subliminal message tells us to indulge ourselves, fulfill our desires, pursue pleasures, stay free, protect my space, minimize commitments. Well, given such messages, it's easy to understand why many people are cautious about commitment. Fewer and fewer people get married these days. Reluctance to commit in marriage, in commitment to a charity, commitment to community service, commitment to our church. We fear commitment. Maybe men fear more than women, but we fear commitment, obligation, and being tied down, restricted. If I commit myself, will I end up enjoying it or will I regret it? Will life be more fulfilling or just more draining? Well, contemporary medical research provides a conclusive answer. Dr. Paul Pearsall, in his book The Pleasure Prescription, said this: modern research shows one of the most pleasurable of all human acts is also one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself and for others. And that is gentle, caring, selfless acts toward other people. He says that there are significant health benefits from serving. And Alan Lux, in his book The Healing Power of Doing Good, conducted a survey of over 3,300 volunteers. He discovered that many volunteers experience feelings of euphoria when volunteering. He called it the helper's high. It compares with the runner's high. You know, if you run, some of you run, some of us exercise. When you exercise, instead of feeling more stressed, you feel more relaxed, at least afterwards. The act of helping causes both physiological and emotional effects. In fact, regular acts of kindness or serving stimulate the endorphins, the natural hormones that improve mood, they help improve the body's immune system, and they lower blood pressure. Research shows that volunteering on a regular basis improves self-esteem, it improves our sense of well-being, and not just lower stress. And one study even found that retired men who volunteer one day a week live 2.5 times longer than retired men who do not volunteer at all. No pressure. So helping others is beneficial to our health. It produces feelings of calmness, of well-being, that continues long after hours of serving. Lux makes it clear that when we persuade someone to volunteer to serve, we are giving an enormous gift. It's like we're giving away membership of a health club. That's what I'm doing this morning. So I have no hesitation, because I long for each of us to experience this blessing. Jesus spoke about it on the night he was betrayed. He was washing the disciples' feet. And when he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, he returned to his place, and he said, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And in verse 17, he goes on to say, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you do them. So this morning, do you understand what Christ has done for you? Do you realize the implications of following him? I've set you an example, says Jesus, that you should do as I have done for you. Now, if we apply that, it means if we follow Jesus, we will serve Jesus. In fact, we'd go further and say that a follower of Jesus is someone who obeys Jesus. And if we are not obeying Jesus, we're not following Jesus. Jesus calls us to servanthood as a lifelong and life-giving calling. His style of servanthood energizes, it invigorates, it's deeply fulfilling. Because when Jesus calls, he also equips. The moment we trust in Christ, we receive not only cleansing, but charismata, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, to enable us to serve willingly, to make a unique contribution to the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why on Easter Sunday, we invited you to renew your commitment to Jesus and membership of his church here in Virginia Water. Together we made a pledge to the Lord and one another, by God's grace, to take seriously the Anglican model of membership. By God's grace, for the year ahead, we recognized that our calling is to follow the example of Christ at home and daily life, to be regular in private prayer day by day. Last week, Richard preached on to read the Bible carefully. In a week or so's time, we'll look at to come to church every Sunday, to receive communion faithfully. But today, to give personal service to church, neighbors, and community. So please turn with me to Romans 12. And this morning I want us to see that serving in and through the local church is the norm for every believer. And this morning I have a very explicit agenda, because I'm praying that each of us will be motivated to joyfully and willingly serve in one or more of our serving teams. And to make it really easy for you, in the seat in front of you is a copy of the leaflet. We no longer call our teams volunteers, because servants don't volunteer. You know that in November each year, we invite you to renew your financial pledge. We encourage everyone to tithe a proportion of their income and trust God for the year ahead. So in May each year, we're going to use this Sunday to renew our pledge to serve the Lord and each other for the year ahead. We're beginning to wind down, we're thinking of the summer holidays, but the academic year begins in September, and that's when we're encouraging you to commit to serve for the year ahead from September. The reason is because we believe that serving is the norm for every follower of Jesus. And while God has blessed us uniquely with different talents, different levels of income, he's given each one of us the same amount of time every week. 168 hours precisely. We all get the same amount of time to invest in our families, our work, recreation, exercise, and sleep. And some of us need more of it. But we're simply inviting you, encouraging you, to consider what proportion of that week you give in personal service. The leaflet, if you haven't picked it up already, identifies the various serving teams that we have at Christchurch that enable us to fulfill our role as a local church. And at the end of the sermon, we're going to play some music, and I'm going to invite you to tick one or more of the boxes. Whether you've been on a serving team for decades, or whether you are about to commit to serving on a team, we're inviting you to respond and place it in the collection plate or in the box at the back of the church before you leave. There's no greater incentive than knowing God's blessing as we obey and follow him. But if it helps, we'd like to gift you the designer pen, which you will find also in the pocket in front of you. You can keep it as a gift. And the carnal side of me even thought of suggesting that if you pledge to serve on more than two teams, we would gift you a set of rare, limited edition postcards of Virginia Water. But then I thought that's not a good idea. So they are at the back, and you're welcome to have them anyway. But please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. That was a joke, okay? Romans chapter 12. Let's get serious. And the first observation I want us to make is the church family helps us grow up together. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, says Paul, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper worship as rational beings. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. First, notice Paul describes us as brothers and sisters. We're a family. Second, notice he urges us to not volunteer, but sacrifice. To offer our bodies, our time, our energy, our talents, our lives. And third, he defines Christian service as an act of worship. See, there's no contradiction between worship and service. If we have not come into our church building with the attitude of service, of desire to serve, then we may have sung some songs, we may have prayed some prayers, but we haven't been worshipping. The one is defined by the other. You cannot do one without the other. John Ortberg observes this paradox. He says, when we use our spiritual gifts in the spirit of servanthood, something happens in us as well as through us. Metamorphosis. When we find a place of service, he says, old patterns of pride and self-absorption get disrupted. We explore our strengths. We come face to face with our weaknesses. Failure leads to fresh encounters with grace. Risk leads to fresh experiences of trust. Competitiveness gives way to fresh reliance on community. Because serving is a transformational endeavor. As we serve, we are transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. Church family, first of all, therefore, helps us grow up together. Secondly, a church family moves us out of self-centered isolation. He says, verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, when you come to faith, when you join the church family, we discover our brothers and sisters. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, says, membership is neither inconsequential nor something to be casually ignored. The church, the local church, is God's agenda for the world. Jesus said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. In fact, the church is indestructible. It will last for eternity. It will outlive this universe, as will your role. Rick Warren says, we are called to belong, not just believe. We're created for community. We are fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. If you do a study on the word together in the New Testament, you'll find that we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and one day we will be caught up together to be with Jesus. So while our relationship with Christ is personal, it is not private. In God's family, we're interrelated to every believer. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We're members of his body. We're not an organization, we're a family. A family. I'm sure you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I invite you to memorize 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You see the link? The one leads to the other. Church family helps us to grow up together. Church family moves us out of self-centered isolation. And thirdly, the church family is our primary place of service. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let's use them. If prophecy, let's prophesy. Ministry, let's use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. Who leads, with diligence. Who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. You see, the difference between a church attender and a church member is service. Attenders are spectators on the sidelines. Members get involved. Attenders are consumers. Members are contributors. Attenders simply want the benefits of a church without the responsibility. Now in this list, Paul mentions a variety of ministry roles. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy. It's not an exhaustive list. But it's not dissimilar from the opportunities we provide in our serving team leaflet. You see, we will only reach our redemptive potential as a local church when we are each harnessing one another's talents and gifts. He says, verse 7, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. Let us use them. And if you are using your gifts for the Lord, then praise God. We thank you. But if not, then join the team. Because we've all been given natural talents, spiritual gifts, gifts of God's grace to help build up his church. The key is using them. If you're not sure what your gifts are, then share it with others. Talk. Find out. If you think you've got the gift of singing, others will tell you. It's not that hard. We discover our gifts by giving it a go, by serving. On the back of the, on the inside of the serving leaflet is a list of how we serve. How we serve. And in the following verses, Romans 12, 9 to 13, Paul tells us how we serve. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kind, affectionate to one another with brotherly love. in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. See, the difference is not coming in thinking, who's going to serve me? Where's my coffee? Oh, where's my service sheet? But how can I serve today? Where are the gaps? Where are the needs? That's what makes the church unique in our world. See, there's plenty of membership out there, but you usually have to pay. Some of it's very exclusive. There's a certain golf course very near here. The only way you become a member is when someone dies and they create a vacancy. But the membership of Christ's church transcends race, ethnicity, gender, age, IQ, class, or culture. Because God created the church to meet our deepest needs. Purpose to live for, people to live with, principles to live by, profession to live out, power to live on. There is no place on earth where we can experience all of these benefits in one place. So if you haven't already done it, I know some of you can't wait, pick up the leaflet. It will not bite you. And the pen, which is yours. And ask the Lord to help you answer the questions. What am I really passionate about? What do I most enjoy doing? What do I long to do? And I have some spare time. Maybe that's a sign of what God has gifted you with. Pray specifically, Lord, how do you want me to help build your church in this world? And then specifically to us, where best can I serve at Christ Church in the year ahead? If you're not sure, then come and talk to Colin or me or Beth or Paul or Peter or Hester or Penny or one of the team. But we're going to take literally 2 minutes to reflect upon the challenge and the application this morning. And to help you, I'm going to play you a song. Kindly place the leaflet in the box or on the collection plate. One of the team will get back to you, Penny or Annette or Leslie or Colin. We'll get back to you and we'll discuss with you how you can join one of those teams or more. This morning, in our series on the privilege of church membership, we've been considering what it means to give personal service to church, neighbours and community. We've seen from Romans 12 that a church family helps us grow together, that a church family moves us out of self-centred isolation, and the church family is our primary place of service. place to grow, a place to serve, a place to belong. That is what God intends us to be at Christ Church. And that, by God's grace, is what we will increasingly become with your help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge this morning from your word, the privilege of serving you in and through our local church. Please help us to reflect upon the passage we've looked at, the challenge from our Lord as to how we can best serve you. And please guide us to a place of service in and through our church where we can be blessed and others can be built up too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.